Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Fins and dummy half. It's with the halfback, Williams. Williams goes himself, comes out the other side, gets it to Croker, bounces away from a would-be from De Goyf, puts a kick out wide, looking for Shander Earle, and Earle is in again. No!
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Podcast, head of NRL Supercoach Round 3, proudly brought to you as always by Pat and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. I am your host, Tim Williams. We have arrived at arguably the most important trade round of the year. You may not think so, your team might be cruising along, but the reason I say that is that we've had 2 free weeks to have a look at players, roles, minutes, injuries, all sorts of things without any prices changing. Round 3 is the first chance of 2024 that players' prices will change big time to get stuck into it. Here with me to do so is 2019 NRL Supercoach champion Desi Creek. Desi, welcome back, mate.
Good to be back. Yeah.
How you been travelling, mate? Hard at it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going about as well as the rest of us in our Supercoach, so not very
shit.
Yeah, very shit.
More importantly, mate, I'm looking around and you sort of sit there and go, oh, you know, I always say, as long as I'm happy with my team early on in the year, points, not a major concern. Obviously, you want to be going well. But I was looking around at a few experts leagues, content creator leagues, and some of the highest ranks I found were about 3,000-4,000. Most people were anywhere from 20,000 to 30,000 going south. Are you happy with your team, how it's set up already, or is there a few fires to put out?
Good question. I think I'm fairly happy with it. I know a lot of people, there's a lot of chat about trading our guns this week, but I don't think I'm going to bite into that per se. So yeah, I'm pretty happy to just settle. Probably won't boost this week, I'm thinking. Just let it play out for a few more weeks.
Sounds like a few spot fires, no bush fires, but a few little sparked up ones. All right, mate, we'll sort those out this episode. Also with us making his SC Playbook podcast debut, the first time. You might know him from the Hello Sport About Even show. You might know him from his socials, probably more prolific there, more social followers than Justin Bieber, this bloke. He's a Supercoach gun, first and foremost. Random stats guy. Rando, welcome to the show.
First of all, Timmy, thank you so much for the debut, sitting among the greats, which I never thought I'd find myself in for Supercoach, but you know, I've got the stats with me. My team not going too great, so you've already taught me a few things or two about my trades this week that I'm going to deliver, where I was going to get rid of a bunch of blokes that I probably shouldn't have, so we'll see how we go.
Never thought I'd be called a great, mate, but here we go. And I find it quite fitting, mate, that, you know, I've seen your Supercoach scores. You've done pretty well. You've had some good ones, good results in the past, but you've got your CBA. You could be anything shirt on, so timely.
Absolutely. I had to wear this one, especially with a few could-be-anythings being named this week as well, so I can't wait to dig into them.
And Rando, just for those who don't know you, obviously, most prolifically, as I said, across the social medias, thousands of followers there dropping, surprise, surprise, random NRL stats. Or not even NRL, all sports.
Absolutely. Growing into more sports, going full-time, which has been really good and really fun. But we'll see how we go. At Random Stats Guy, is it on TikTok? I do dances to stats too, so you can check it out there. Mostly reels, but nah, you can definitely check out all stats for all different sports, but obviously mainly focused on the big one, NRL.
TikTok, Insta,
Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans, you name it, I've got it.
Hey, mate, it's a Marcus Stoinis lookalike. I'd be dangerous if I say about that. Also with us this week, as always, Matty the Waterboy. Matty, you and I up in Redcliffe on the weekend for the Bloke in a Bar show. How have you pulled up, mate?
I'm fine. We had a great day. We We ticked all the boxes when it comes to having a fun day, but having a fun day responsibly, so we were all good for the next day. We were, yeah, I think we're on fire in both departments.
Can you responsibly tell the listeners what our sad day involved and why it was one of the greatest days of all time?
So basically, we fly into Redcliffe, sorry, fly into Brizzy, take a quick Uber to Redcliffe. We thought about going for a swim, but it was a little bit windy, so we're like, all right, we better just go to the pub and make a game plan. We punted for 2 hours. Then got an Uber to another place called the Redcliffe Tavern, watched the Raiders game, had schooners there, had the best palm you've ever had in my life, kept punting, then got another Uber to Redcliffe Leagues and pretty much drank beer towels there and watched the footy there whilst we were drinking mid-strength and we were drinking waters very regularly. So, and we were in bed by 11.
And
so
we had one of the great Snitties for lunch and one of the largest Macca's feeds for dinner.
Oh, yeah, I got a big... Yeah. Big old bundle. It was so great.
It was all done responsibly. Maddie also responsibly. Not a big horse racing punter, Maddie, but you're starting to get into your horses a little bit, and I think it's your first or second punt of the day, Dublin Boy or Dublin Down or something, about 28-1 at Rose Hill.
Yeah,
seriously.
That was a great little win. I was 2 from 2 to start today, and one of them was a $28 shot, so the day was good.
It was a ripper of a weekend. Of course, to top it off, the hotel we were staying at had at the bar mid-strength bloke on tap. So absolute
days.
Ideal drop. First time having that off tap. Rando, how's your start to the Supercoach season been, mate?
It's been rough, much like everyone else's. But to be honest, when I look back at and see how everyone else is going at the moment, I'm pretty happy with my team. So few changes still need to be made. As we mentioned, some spot fires, some bushfires that we watered down in round one. Had to make 2 early trades after that Palacea debacle. But now think we are in the clear. And, you know, after making these trades for round 3, I'm feeling pretty confident again, which is good.
Like it. Maddie, you were crowing last week after a really strong start of the season. Did you back it up? We haven't actually spoken about this.
Yeah. No, I didn't go as good this week. Didn't go as good this week, but it wasn't a disaster or anything. I came in the top half, so I guess that's all that matters. Yeah, it wasn't great, though. I got 961, so a slow start to the year for me and everyone else.
961, not too bad, mate. For the Cooma Stallions, 984. So an improved week after a round one battle there into... Snuck into the top 70,000, boys. Pretty excited about 69,000 overall. I'm absolutely thrilled with my side, to be honest with you. I'd like a few more points on the board, obviously, but get to it shortly. But cash, my cheapies are looking all right. Happy with my team. Had that. I mentioned spot fires before. My front row spot last week was one of the biggest bushfires you've ever seen. Brought in Terrell May. He's done well. Tam Lolo got minutes, scored well. It was a temporary fix, but at least he delivered okay for me last week. And ended up only using one trade as well. So Hammer flew, end up holding Bostock, he flew. So cash is looking good, and hopefully the points are to come this week. Boys, let's get stuck into this week's show for NRL Supercoach Round 3. Before we do, though, you know the spiel about the SC Playbook subscription package. Access to premium articles on site every week. Access to our WhatsApp group with team feedback, contributors chat, late mail, draft, head-to-head focus, all sorts of things. I mentioned on Thursday on the Questions podcast. I changed trades last week from Tuesday to Thursday to I think even Friday, my last one, and it ended up being not going Bostock to Taliao, ended up shifting Palacea down to 2RF, selling Furmore, which meant I could do it all in one trade and get another look at guys. I was able to do that in the SC Playbook contributors WhatsApp chat of a Friday or whenever I posted that as the week goes on. So get involved in that. It also gives you access to our $1,000 SC Playbook Unlimited League prize. We've also added a head-to-head focus thread to that WhatsApp chat for those who aren't as impacted by the overall game and looking at beating their mates. On today's show, boys, is it time to boost? I've had my say last week, but I'll get your thoughts on boosting, particularly in round 3. Are we doing it this week? Are we cutting ties with any big guns, focusing on Kalyn Ponga, who is the most traded out player this week after a poor start to the year? Team list Tuesday talking points. A bit to come out of that one as well. Kai Pearce-Paul starts for the Knights, but for how long? Hot topics, would you be going Danny Levi to Joey Lussick? Also a massive Team List Tuesday winner. We'll get to that. Lots of people are doing that. I advise against it. We'll get to it. Rando, you're going to be dropping your stats of the week whenever on the podcast, so looking forward to that one. And then, of course, as always, we'll be dropping our round three trades and skippers, wrapping it up with a few questions. Boys, let's start with boosting in round three. Personal thoughts are just relaying what I said last week, but I do think round three is a great time to boost. As you said, we get a look, had a free look at players, these negative break-evens, building this cash early. I think it's a great opportunity to. That being said, I also mentioned do it if you feel you need to do it, not just because you want to do it. So it's like, don't force it for the sake of using a third trade. If you're happy with your team and you only need to make two trades, use two trades. Desi, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people will be boosting to trade out, you know, Kalen Ponga because they see his break even. They think, well, he's not going to hit that. He's going to lose cash. But, you know, it's a thing. Like, you only lose money on these guys if you sell them. So if you just hold him all the way through up until, say, Origin or whatever, whenever you're forced to sell him, he's not going to – he'll probably get back up to this price at some point. So you're not going to lose money. If you go down to someone like Pappenhausen, I guess you could. There is a theory that you could do that, get some cash, and then use the other two trades on upgrades. I mean, that's the only like reason why I see anyone would be boosting this week. There's no like absolute must-haves that you have to bring in. I think all of us started with a pretty solid like bunch of cheapies already, so you're not scrambling to buy anyone this week. So, yeah, for me, I'm probably not going to waste a boost.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's amazing what happens in the space of a week or in 2 weeks. In this instance, the cheapest scene looked terrible after one. We were in all sorts. There's been a couple that have emerged. It's all of a sudden looking a bit better. You look at a team like the Dragons, week one, well beaters, week two, absolutely busteds. Just on the rhetoric, Desi, it's interesting you brought up there around if you have these players long term and ideally for the season, like a Ponga or a Cleary or a Hines, whoever it may be. I've seen it so many times across particularly social media and different pages saying it doesn't matter because they're not actually losing money for your team. I don't like that thinking at all because the idea, like in a Ponga perspective, and this isn't saying I want to sell Ponga, but you did allude to it a little bit. If you're going to someone like a Pappenhausen who's set to make cash, Pappy makes 200K, Ponga drops 200K, there's a 400K swing.
Yeah, there is a trade-off though, like... If you think Pappenhausen's going to, you know, score the same as Ponga, which I personally don't think so. I think without the kicking, it decreases his floor. I mean, he scored 130 or whatever. Yep. So, but yeah, I think Ponga, we've seen over last season, he's got that huge ceiling. So I just think it's madness to trade him out just because Pappenhausen's, you know, going well and he's going to increase in price. There's other people you can bring in who will also increase in price just as much as Pappenhausen will. That's the rhetoric that I'm
The funny thing about that is, and the reality is with the goal kicking, if Pappy's goal kicking, well, he's over 150, potentially towards 160, and you're going, oh, geez, we do need him. Yeah. Rando, boosting. Any thoughts in general, and in particular, round three, do you think it's a good time to do so?
Personally, for my team, how I approach the first couple of rounds is just purely looking for investments, basically. A bunch of cheapies, as I mentioned in the green room before, I had Kyle Lawton just sitting there only because I just didn't want to waste too much money, wanted to spend more on my team and see that money grow that way. So for me personally, I'm not boosting this week. I already had to make two trades last week, as I mentioned. Yeah, I just don't see the necessity of the boost. Obviously, every team's different. Yeah. And if you need to boost, injuries, different selections, you're just not happy with what you picked in the first round, which is totally fine, then definitely go for a boost. But I would just be staying off for the time being. And just as Des mentioned, and what I've been reading a lot lately is just trust the players who've got that break even. They're going to come through eventually. And I think you look at Kalen Ponga's stats, for instance, compared to obviously that 9-round freak run of games where he averaged about 150. It was just line break assists, try assists, line breaks. He's just not getting them at the moment. I think he only has one line break, which he did before he got absolutely poleaxed by Huddy Young. And that was about it for him. He hasn't really created many more opportunities, but he's versing a very weak Storm side this weekend where he'll get that opportunity to kind of put points on a big redemption game at home. You think that he'll get some points there. And from there, I think he's a confidence player. Once he gets that good game, the rest will follow through.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there, mate. And it is, as you mentioned, with the boosting so different for every team and how every team's set up, there will dead set be teams out there this week. I wish I was in the position, but going, I'm happy with everything, I don't need to trade. So be it, good luck to you. Wouldn't be many, but there'll be some out there. I think a lot that, like I went early on Terrell May last week, there was some risk involved in doing that, but I was very confident in what I saw in Vegas. And that has basically saved me needing to make one trade this week. So I think people with like Terrell May already in their team and sort of putting out any fires at front row forward, and anyone that has either of Lussick or Levi, they're probably cheapy hooker slots looking okay, may not feel the need to boost this week. Any sides with neither of those two, or say one of those two, might be going, I have got to get, you know, these guys in along with other stuff. Great time to boost. So different for every team. But yeah, I will get to my trades a little bit later, thinking about probably not boosting this week at this stage, but a few things yet to work out. Let's get on to topic two, and that is the big guns. They've all pretty well underperformed so far this season. Hines, Ponga, Cleary, Drinky, there's been a ton of them. And I was really surprised to see, boys, the break-evens for these players not sort of as high as I'd anticipated. So KP, for starters, where have I got him at? He's got a break-even of about 154. Nico's 175. Cleary's 151. Harry Grant's at 103. I will find Ponga's exact number. 159. There we are. Apologies. I thought they'd be way higher for the prices that they were at and the way they've started the season. And I knew that it works around your break-evens, particularly early in the season, this magic number that dictates break-evens. And that is impacted by the overall scoring, how every player in Supercoach has scored. Anyway, I threw to the WhatsApp chat, and a shout-out to Grant McCartan, who replied with a bit of an answer on why those break-evens, whilst big, I thought we'd be seeing 200s across the board. Yes. He came back with, on your data entry question, that is completely correct, mate. Thank you, mate. The magic number, bracket, the number which all players derive their price from, is not stagnant. It moves based on the overall scoring of the competition. Historically, it drops over the first month before climbing again. This, of course, coinciding with generally smaller scores in early in the year. What this means is it's easier to attain break-evens if the overall averages of players are lower, and harder when they are higher. It is why players tend to have much lower break-evens early in the season versus the end of the season. So just something I found interesting, and basically if those players do those things at that price in the back end of the year when points are flowing, the break-evens will be enormous. Going back to Caelan Ponga at 892K, break-even 159. Most sold player this week. Their draw coming up the Knights. They've got the Storm at home this week, in Newcastle that is, the Warriors away, Dragons at home, Roosters at home, Dogs away, Dolphins away. So the next 3 of 4 weeks are quite tough before it eases up a little bit. First question to you, Desi, and Rando, you sort of touched on saying by the sounds of it you're pretty keen to hold on to him. What are you doing with Caelan Ponga, Desi?
Absolutely holding him. He could easily hit that 159 break even against Melbourne. He's that sort of player. I don't think he's super draw dependent, so he can still score massive against the good defenses. The Knights just need to click into gear a bit. They've been, you know, off the first 2 weeks, but I think they're the sort of team that can easily just find gear and go.
Yeah. Agreed, Rando?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest change now is that, you know, Hastings being dropped to reserve grade, you get a new half in there, a new spine combination, and maybe Jack Cogger can find Caelan Ponga out the back a bit more. Obviously, we usually see Tyson Gamble run that right half, so that left half's integral because that's where Caelan loves to swing it, loves hitting Greg Mars, who I know he's not playing this weekend, but he loves hitting his left winger, left side, that Ponga pogo, as they call it, when he flicks onto that left-hand side. I think that's going to be really key. And seeing how Jack Cogger unlocks him in this game against the Storm, and as I keep saying it, weakened Storm side, you got to hold on to him. Then you look at his draw there. Yes, Storm's going to be the Warriors away is going to be tough, but Dragons, Dogs, Dolphins, see those as easy games that he's going to pick up those scores. If you've held him on for 2 weeks, you may as well just keep following the ride.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm with you, boys. I will be holding on to Kalyn Ponga. And again, initially when I was expecting that the break-even to be sort of onwards of 200, I was thinking a Storm side with, you know, maybe Munster back, Jerome Hughes firing, maybe Nelson Sofa-Solomona back. No Munster, no Hughes, no Sofa-Solomona. Just got away with a win against the Warriors. The Knights, backs against the wall, 0-2. I think they will bounce back. Their outside is significant at the moment. I think they win this game, and I think Ponga will fire. So, yeah, look, I'm willing to take it on. Let's say, for the people that are selling, because there's obviously a lot out there, who would you be moving to if you were selling? So, I am a very happy Tom Trbojevic owner. It blew my mind as I skipped him on Sunday that he only got, I think, 54, 55 points. No line breaks, no line assists, there were no major attacking stats, no tries, no try assists, still went all right. We'll be going nowhere from my team. So if you don't have him, despite a high break even again, I'd be going Turbo. The options, Latrell Mitchell, Reece Walsh, Scott Drinkwater, Pappenhausen is the popular one that people are going to. Pappy's at 645K, break even of 22. The issue is rookie halves there. In the buy for the Storm next week. Desi, if you were moving him on, who would it be to?
I agree. I mean, if you don't have Turbo, he's the main one to target. Latrell's looked fairly good. He's looked like normal Latrell, to be honest. Not super high involvement, but when he gets involved, he's looking good. Walsh, same, basically. Not high involvement, but still scoring well. Drinkwater, he's actually looking fairly good, Drinkwater, like he was last season, so there is a case to go to him, I guess. But yeah, as I said, Ponga with the kicking, you know, he's got a higher floor than probably Walsh, Pappenhausen, Drinky, probably Latrell as well. He's just got a high floor. Like, he's not playing well, he's still scoring 50, kind of like Turbo. I wouldn't be going to any of them, but yeah, Turbo's the one.
Rando, I would have been keen on, well, sorry, more interested in moving Ponga on to Reece Walsh. Now with Adam Reynolds out, potentially for what, anywhere from sort of 2 weeks to a month, it sounds.
Yep.
Goal kicking Reece Walsh, but the Broncos draw could not be any harder over the next month. They go down to Penrith this week, potentially with Payne Haas missing, potentially with Ezra Mann missing. So I can't do that. The Bunnies also have a difficult draw, as Desi sort of said, though. Latrell, he's pretty match-up proof. You still want the easier ones, but, you know, they've had tough games the last 2 weeks, been beaten. He's still scored, averaging about 95, 100-odd. Of those options, or anyone else, you know, I've seen Dylan Edwards thrown out there after a few good weeks. I know you're a Will Kennedy owner. Talk us through Kennedy, but also who would you move to KP to if selling?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Reece Walsh, you got to really move with caution. Adam Reynolds being out, as you mentioned, for 2 to 4 weeks. I was trying to find the exact answer here, but obviously it's all smoke and mirrors from the Bronx. With Walsh playing fullback and no Adam Reynolds, he scored 44 twice in the 3 games that he was missing and 141 in that other game against the Canberra Raiders, who, no offence, weren't doing too great at the time down the nation's capital. So I know I'm on debut. I need to pull it back. But I do see Latrell, as you mentioned, absolutely fixture-proof, averaging 95 in 2 losing games. I think he's definitely the go-to guy here. Personally, for me, Will Kennedy was a choice. Usually a fast starter in Supercoach. He averages 75 in the first 5 rounds in the last 5 seasons. He hasn't done that for me so far. In fact, I think he scored 75 points in the first 2 games in total. That was purely a cash cow because I thought his price will rise. And they also got a pretty easy draw. Really excited for him against the Tigers. So Latrell would definitely be my first choice here. James Tedesco also flying on the radar too. He scored 100 plus last weekend in a losing side against Manly as well. So someone to look at there for Tedesco fans if you are looking for a bit of value.
Yeah, I think for me, despite the tough draw, probably Latrell Mitchell. Again, you can make a case for any of those guys, and hence why I'm not super thrilled about any of them and why I'm happy to hold on to Kalyn Ponga. Pappenhausen in the bye next week, and I know he scored 132 without the goal kicking, but the no goal kicking still hurts, I think, at this stage. Key players out. So not for me, boys. Nico Hines, 970K, 175 break even. Cleary's at 912K, 151 break even. Would you sell? Do we both own? Randa, you don't own one of them.
I own Cleary.
You own Cleary. Yep. Des, you've got them both. I've got them both. Any temptation to sell?
No, none whatsoever.
There's no replacement.
They are the two best halfbacks in Supercoach. Two best players in Supercoach. you can pretty much captain one of the two every week and you pretty much guaranteed 100. It hasn't happened over the first two rounds, but going forward, you do not want to sell these guys at all.
Someone who's had two skipper scores of 50 and like 55 last 2 weeks, Desi, if you can guarantee me 100 with a player each week, please do let me know and let the people know.
I mean, it's turbo. We all know it's turbo.
Yes. Rando, you are a Cleary owner. Who's your other halfback?
My other halfback, don't believe he plays regularly. That is the great Jamie Humphreys is my other halfback. Once I said, like I said, sorry, I only go as a cash investment. Yeah, absolutely. My 13 mainly is loaded. And then I've got Will Kennedy. I've used the fullback as kind of the super coach option to try and get that more points through. I see them as the most viable. And then second row forwards, definitely the second best option.
Did you
option.
Pay up a bit at second row?
Yeah, I did.
Who have you
I
got? Did.
We got Hopgood, Fasulma Ali, started with Harris as well. Then Smithies just looked like a cheapie and then, you know, Cashman. Dylan Lucas in there, and then we'll get to my recent trade soon. Right. But yeah, that's how fast I went with the second row forwards. Very and stuffed. Then halves. Had to go D-bags and Nathan Cleary as well. So the two highest scoring ones. There's just no high scoring 5-8s out there, to be honest.
It's such a terrible position at the moment. The old Hopgood masterclass, mate, tunned on the weekend.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that. I like the 100. Yeah. I didn't think it was possible after last round, but here we are.
What's his ownership?
Good question. Let me get that up.
Lucky last of these players was Harry Grant, 750K. 103 break even, again, one that at his price, he's had a pretty poor start to the season. As an owner, you take that and go, okay, I can probably give him another week if need be. What would you be doing with him? He was a very interesting one in particular because we've got, we'll get to Lussick and Levi shortly, but I think of the two, Lussick looks the better buy. But there's got to be some serious temptation for grand owners to go down to Lussick. Desi, if you were a grand owner, what would you be doing? He started the season with scores of 49 and 61.
I would probably sell him, to be honest, because then you've got Broncos as well after the bye. And you've got Bulldogs. Yikes. With Hughes and Munster out, you'd expect him to take a fair bit of the attacking ball. That's the thing. Like, it's gonna have to all go through Harry over the next...
Yeah, it'll do a lot.
Yeah, over the next game or two, so... Yeah, I'd probably still give him the flick, though. He's not looking like Grease Lightning out there yet. He had one line break on the weekend, still only scored 60-odd, so he's not getting into that dangerous 100-plus sort of score territory yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely a case to sell him down to Lussick or Levi.
I like it as well, mate, with those players out and the bye to come in round four as well. Really doubles down on that one. Could easily score well this week, as you said, with those boys out, but it's still a weak inside. I just don't like it. And because all of a sudden there's been these good options emerge, hooker sort of come out of nowhere. Hey, Maddie, for yourself, mate, of these big dogs, I think you own pretty well all of them. I think you've got Ponga, Cleary, Hines. I don't believe you have Harry. What?
I don't have Harry, no.
You don't? Are you looking at selling any of those for the cash grab or will you be holding?
I'm trying not to. My front rowers are just in absolute all sorts at the moment. So I'm currently trying to figure out a way to fix that without having to do that. It will be a last resort type situation. I don't think I'm going to do that, no.
If you had to cut one?
I'd cut Ponga.
Ponga,
Yeah.
Two?
I thought Papenhuyzen, but then I forgot that they have the bye, so that's really annoying.
it's so annoying.
I don't know. Probably.
He didn't want to
say. We both know you're trailing.
Probably Latrell.
How aren't you on Latrell right now?
Because I don't need to put Latrell in my Supercoach team to support him every week because I already ride that train, and it's a bloody great train to ride. But no, I'm not sure. Probably Latrell.
Yep. Boys, team list Tuesday, the major Supercoach pointers from today's team list. I will go through this in more depth with the guru tomorrow on Beers and Break. Evan's dropping at 3 p.m. on YouTube and Spotify and Apple or wherever you listen to your podcast. But we still do need to touch on the major ones. Firstly, at the Broncos, Payne Haas, Ezra Mam named, Reynolds out for the Broncos. Haas and Mam still under an injury cloud, so keep an eye on that one. Tane Torpicky named at fullback for the Warriors. No sign of Chance Nickel-Klukstad. This is very good news, obviously, for Torpicky. My question to you boys is, you boys owners?
No.
Not an owner? With Chance due back, reading between the lines and Webby's comments, I would think it's probably looking more like round five now that he'll be back from a hamstring niggle. He could come back against the Knights next week, but 277K, negative 18 break even. I'll throw to you, Randall, as a non-owner. Is he a bloke you're looking at getting in because his base has been good the last couple of weeks? Ball playing a little bit better on the weekend, gets the Raiders, Knights, Bunnies the next few weeks, if he goes that far. Are you looking at getting him in, or are you a bit concerned about Chance?
Bit concerned about Chance, but I think he's already got over that break-even hump, which is really good. I mean, I'd take a reserve player to score 50-plus points. Personally, as I mentioned, happy with Will Kennedy, and I'm lucky not to be in the position to try and bring him in, but if you do have him, definitely keep him around. 50 each game you'd take from reserve fullback at 277.
Yeah, and I think he's also very playable in 17s this week against the Raiders as well. That forward matchup's going to be unreal, but Warriors 0-2, geez, they're going to be fired up. Just around sort of mentioning earlier that very happy with my squad, and just for any cynics out there saying, bullshit, you're devastated, you've been crying yourself to sleep every night. I've currently got, this is before trades this week, 9 players in my team with negative break-evens. I've got 12 of my 25-man squad with break-evens of 11 or less, and this is obviously keeping in mind holding guys like Ponga, Cleary, Hines, etc. So I am happy with where things are at. Boys, Seb Chris out due to a head knock for the Raiders. Nick Kotrick back in for them. So anyone who still owns him, look, he's obviously only one injury away at the Raiders, but just need him to score a few tries and hopefully he can jag something. But looks tough going for Nico. Probably the biggest team news from the list today, Zach Hosking, the most traded in player this week, just before we went to recording. Of course, the most traded in and out players will alter a little bit over the next few hours, but has been named on the bench. Elliot Whitehead starts on return from injury. Now, I was sceptical of buying regardless. I still think, Desi, that Hosking could start this game. Whitehead not playing this season yet. Hosking has been a revelation for the Raiders. In terms of a buy, he's 5'11k. He's got a break-even of negative 50. There is big cash incoming. I suppose, firstly, how do you see it now? And no, I'll throw that to Rando, actually. Let's say, hypothetically, we get to the game on the weekend and he's named to start. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Would you be looking at buying, or are you not keen?
It's a tough one, yeah. I mean, if he was guaranteed to start, maybe. Negative 50 break even, you can't overlook. Like, he's going to make a hell of a lot of money. No two ways about it. Even if he does come off the bench, but his base is really good. 50-odd base, so he's a guy that you could hold on to and probably isn't going to lose a ton of money as well. So I can see why the punters like him. You can take a punt on him for sure. I actually did have him penciled in before I heard that he was not gonna start this game. So that just shows you where my head was at. He does look good. But yeah, if he's coming off the bench, probably prefer someone like Josh Curran, who's also coming off the bench, but his job security is just better down the track.
Yeah. Rando, a bit of green room chat. Your eyes turned lime green because you want the cash. You like him regardless of starting or bench.
Yeah, absolutely. As a Helam Lukey owner, looking to get rid of someone, and you can kind of, how I'm seeing it is a look to him. He's going to get a cash boost, worst case scenario, depending on his minutes this weekend. I'll try and convert him into another big second row forward. So for me, massive cash grab is the play. I mean, I'm looking at his bench stats from last year, and Penrith played him completely different.
Yeah.
They had Sorensen, they had Martin. They didn't need to give him too many big minutes. Whitehead coming back from injury, as we were talking about, how many minutes will Whitehead actually get, especially in New Zealand where it's all going to be defence mindset. He's going to be puffing after the first 20 for sure. But As a bench player, he did average. He only scored over 20 once in his four games coming off the bench. So that's a bit concerning if he gets the lesser minutes, but hopefully he gets some good minutes. I hope he's going to get around that 50 plus. I think the impact off the bench, once he comes onto the field, he's not leaving it, and hopefully he comes onto the field, hopefully it was 10 minutes to go in that first half, and get some good minutes in, because him fresh and the scores that he's been putting up so far, it's going to be pretty scary. Yeah.
For myself, first and foremost, negative 50 break-even. You're not going to go wrong. Worst case scenario, you get a decent influx of cash. I'm not overly keen, though. I think there's possibly better spots in your team to make the money. I think if he starts, look, I can see Elliot Whitehead spending time in the middle, which could bolster him. So I don't think it will happen, but like if he were to start, he could potentially go 80. If he comes off the bench, I can see him coming on at maybe the 25-30 minute mark and going sort of 55 straight on the edge. Whitehead starts on the edge, spends a bit of time in the middle, especially with Tommy Starling on the bench. But yeah, look, you might. I think as a safe guess, whether he starts or if he's off the bench, I think you're looking at 55 minutes. He can score well in that time. If he jags any attack, happy days. Base has been pretty good. You know, if he does have lesser minutes, his work rate's probably up a little bit as well, gets a bit more involved. So, look, I'm not looking at getting him at this stage, but if he comes out, bangs out good minutes, gets more attack, you know, he could be 750K in a flash. So, not against it, but I don't think I'll be going with Hosking. Sewell Wong dropped for the Roosters. Thoughts and prayers with the rugby league guru who I'm going to give him 24 hours to condole with this one, but Wong's biggest fan. He also owns him in Supercoach, so suck shit, guru. Angus Crichton named on the bench, as is Connor Watson. Luke Keary is out, so Sandon Smith is starting. Connor Watson coming off the bench there. Jackie Whiten back for the Bunnies. Lockie Ilias dropped for Dean Hawkins. Davey Moali starts for the Bunnies. Jacob Hoste on the edge back from injury. Cam Murray back to the middle at lock. There's a four middle forward bench. Boys, Davey Moali. People who own Poaso, Farmasili, and I think to a lesser degree, Sam Hughes, who, as we expected, is building into his minutes. I think he'll generate some cash, just going to be a real slow burn. Davey Moali, 268K, negative 13 break even. Initially, when writing my team's analysis before the teams dropped today, I had him as a complete trap. 63 points in just 32 minutes on the weekend because he scored with a line break. But he's been named to start. I still don't really like him as a buy just because he's played 28 and 32 minutes the first two rounds. But Desi, with the break even, the 63 in his three-round rolling average for a while, what do you think?
I think you could get him for sure. I wouldn't be boosting to get him, for put it that way. If you really need to get rid of Hughes for whatever reason, you could do a straight swap basically to him. But
I wouldn't flip Hughes to him, but yeah. I can see why. I think it's a luxury trade, but I can see why people going, you know what, my team looks good, screw it, I'm going to go Farmasili to him and earn some cash in that spot.
Yeah, Farmasili for sure. You probably could get away with it. But yeah, I'm not his biggest fan either. I mean, starting, you don't know what minutes he could get. He could get maybe, what, 5-10 more minutes max. So yeah, he's still probably only going to score 35, 40 points for you. It's not like the end of the world if you don't get him. He's not going to get huge scores, you know, 60 is about his max. And he's not going to earn you more than 100K for the whole season probably. So
yeah, I thought similar, mate. You sort of want to hopefully be making about 100K on a trade if you're doing it. Ballpark, don't know if he's going to do that, Rando.
As someone who has him in this team and was so grateful, he scored on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, laughing.
I was absolutely laughing. But he does average around 40 minutes when he does play, compared to his usual 25 when coming off the bench when he starts, 40 minutes. He had a great game against Cronulla. He only started twice. He had a really good game against Cronulla, 15 carries, which he loved to see from a front row forward. He didn't score in that game and still got 49 points. Mm. So obviously I'll be hoping, as always, that he does score for my team's sake, but I think that he does motor through and I think he'll take this opportunity. I mean, you got to think about the clash as well. Rabbitohs Roosters, he's been given the starting jersey for only a handful of times in his career to represent the Rabbitohs, so I think he'll definitely take it all guns blazing. And the Rabbitohs are on too as well, so a lot of passion going into this game. I think that Davey, young star coming through, he'll probably get some points to the sweep.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yep. The four middle forward bench scares me off, unless they were going to play Talis Duncan on the edge for host for a little bit. But yeah, I don't love it. Keep a big eye on team list, because if he does move to the bench for final teams, you'd put a line through him. I think it'd be too risky there. Kieran Foran returns for the Titans. Pardon me. Good news for Bo Fermor. We'll feed off him with a bit of luck, and hopefully he can jag some attacking stats for owners. Still no Jaden Campbell or David Fifita. Raymond Fatala Mariner on the bench for the Dragons. Luciano Leilua starts on the edge, that is. Tommy Eisenhuth at lock. Monitor him again this week, but doesn't look great. Jacob Little is out due to a concussion. At the Cowboys, Helam Lukey is out injured. An absolute dagger. 21% owned. When he got injured, I was like, first and foremost, devastated for him, because he's got Queensland Origin written all over him and just can't take a trick. Secondly, I was devastated for my Supercoach team. But I thought he'd be like 40, 50%. No, he was 21%. Anyway, the good news there, the silver lining in terms of Supercoach is Kulikefu Finifuriaki starting on the edge at 292K, a break even of 25. He's a beast. He starts cheap. There's some value to be had. You can get a look at him this week, I think, with that 25 break even. I did rando before the show go through his stats in Queensland Cup last year. He had a number of games where he played 80 minutes, so that's encouraging. I see him probably getting maybe more 50 to potentially 60 for the Cowboys. I was stunned to see the lack of tackle breaks and offloads for what looks like a very destructive footballer. You are a Cowboys fan. How do you see it?
Yeah, I see Jack Gajewski on that bench, and I see minutes in him as well. I think they trusted him a lot last season when they were going through Nanai's injury worries as well. So I do think Finifeki, obviously starting, he will absolutely kill it. But in terms of a Supercoach player, I'm not too sure if he has the points in him. As we mentioned, when he started last season, he played about 47 minutes. That was his max. He didn't have any tackle breaks as well, which you look at the bloke and you think, bloke's born to break tackles. But yeah, 7 carries and only 20 tackles in that 47-minute stint. So be interesting to see how much action he gets. But then again, the Dragons, and we saw them absolutely capitulate last match. So I think he's running out. Is Eisenhofer in the second row? Eisenhofer's
in the middle.
In the middle. So we'll see how he goes against the Dragons side on that right edge. It'd be interesting. But I would hold. I would honestly hold and wait for him to go one more.
He could be a ripping buy next week, but I'm with you, mate.
Will he go down in price, do you reckon?
No, he'll score, what is it, 25 break even or something. There'll be a bit of cash to be had there. Okay. But look, if he comes out and belts out 70 and you miss out on 30 or 40K, but you've confirmed it, sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Boys, Brendan Hands dropped for the Eels. Luca Moretti on the bench. Luca Moretti is like an edge, can play middle forward sort of thing. I don't know a heap about him. We've seen a bit of him in limited time in the NRL in recent years. But massive news for Jory Lussick, who looks set to play 80 minutes. Cheers to Brad Arthur, who said he was going to do this, but he also said it in the preseason, and he waited till round three. So would have been great from round one, but Lussick's obviously played himself into that 80-minute role. He's been terrific. More on him shortly. Tommy Talau named on the extended bench. I haven't seen any injury word out on him since the weekend, but he had something like 56 points in 55 minutes for Manly, the golden left edge spot. Those who did jump on will be hoping that it's nothing too serious and will be back, if not this week, in the next couple of weeks. Still very much on my radar, pending that injury result with Jason Sarbia, but good signs that he's been named on the extended bench. Jackson Hastings dropped. Jack Cogger starts. Jaden Brayley on the bench. Clypeus Paul starts on the edge for the Knights, but Dylan Lucas has been named on the extended bench. I'm a like at 345k, Kai Piss Paul, people are very interested, rightly so. He's got a pretty big motor, looks like a bloke who's going to score well in times. He gets adjusted to the NRL. Desi, they really like Lucas there. He's coming back from a concussion. He got the start in round one. I have a feeling Lucas comes in and starts and Piss Paul goes back to the bench. At the very least, maybe Lucas comes onto the bench and takes time off Piss Paul. If Piss Paul keeps the 80-minute role, like, he's a near must-have at the price, yeah. But lots of ifs and buts.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I wrote a cheapies article last week. I think I listed him, you know, 3 or 4. I thought he'd do better in 80 minutes.
85 almost.
Yeah.
He scored about the same as he did in 40 minutes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit strange, but yeah, he does look the goods. He passes the eye test, that's for sure. There's definitely tries in him once the Knights click, but they haven't yet. So, yeah, I mean, if he does start again, definitely buy.
Yeah, what about if Dylan Lucas is on the bench? He's still a pretty good buy.
Yeah, he's still a pretty good buy. You'd have to say he's still going to get over 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, edge forward for the Knights. It's just there's points there.
We haven't seen a full game yet this season with KPP, Frizzell and Lucas in the team. Mm. So we don't know the exact minutes, but look, there could be some decent minutes for him there. If he starts, I have some serious interest. Let's just wait and see. When do the Knights play, boys, this week? Early? Give me early.
It's Saturday. It feels like a Saturday game, that one.
It's got Saturday written all over.
Sunday, last game. Oh, who put that on the last game? PVL, I mean, what are you doing to us?
Great way to round out the weekend, but...
So people who trade out Ponga have to sit and wait and wait.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
How's that Monday morning going to be for those people that sold him when he gets 180?
It's going to be like Turbo when everyone had him captain on that Sunday as well. Just slowly seeing my lead dissipate.
So it makes it tough. Look, he's got a break even of 16. So my gut feel says just to watch. Much like whoever the hell it was we were talking about before. If he comes out and gets his 70-odd and he makes 40, 50K, I'd prefer cop that and still put him up next week if, you know, 380, 390K, and do it this week and he plays 30, 40 off the bench and it's a waste of time and a waste of a trade. So gut feel says, unless there's word from the club that he's going to play big minutes and start, I'll be avoiding. Lucky last, Stafford Toa injured, Justin Olam comes back in for the Tigers. Solomona Fatape stays in the team, of course, with the injury to Toa. Only scored 21 last week, but it is good for his job security. See what he can do this week in his second game. Boys, if you are lucky enough to be a homeowner, but you're finding your rates are getting into Nico Hines' Supercoach price territory, fear not. Some of the numbers going around are pretty daunting, but there's help available with Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. Whether it's an investment property or the place you're living, the boys can run the numbers to work out how much they can save you on your loan, I should say. Before you know it, the repayments will look a lot less like Nico's and far more like Sonny Luke's. Usually, it'd see you $129, but if you mention SC Playbook when you get in touch with them, it's completely free of charge. To do so, flick them a message on Instagram at patandgeorge_SCW or call them on 02-9521-1611, no matter where in Australia you're based. Email and more details in all our articles on the website. Paddy's been hassling me to get back on the show because he's had the big, bold Luke Brooks, Dally M medal, best super coach buy ever call. And I'm like, I can't do it. I need to wait for him to fizzle and then we'll talk and get you back on. But unfortunately, so far, so good from Paddy. Heaps have reached out to the boys already this season. So they will look after you. Get in touch. Rando. Start deep dive. Your time to shine, mate.
Let's do it.
Your best.
Let's do it. I've got two here. I've cut out the third one because I couldn't find enough. Although there is a bit of smoke there, so I will go back to it potentially.
There's time.
Thank God we're not running out of it. I'm looking at Reece Walsh, obviously a massive trade in here. We're talking about his kicking potential. A lot of people probably seeing him as an option to almost knock out Ponga, bring in Walsh. Mm. It's always tough to play in Penrith, particularly fullbacks. They've had a pretty horror time. In fact, the opposition fullback has scored only 50-plus points once in the last 8 games. Only 3 50-plus scores we've seen from fullbacks against the Panthers in Penrith in the last two seasons, so 2023 and 2024. So I know that everyone's coming here going, oh, Reece Walsh, he's got the kicking tee, he's looking good, but it's no easy feat. Clint Gufferson's got the highest score. He had 118 in that game against against Penrith in round 26 of the season. But I just want people to be completely okay with the fact that they might be walking into a trap by buying in Reece Walsh this week.
I won't put you under too much pressure on debut, mate, but do we know if any of those games where players actually did score more were any of the mass resting games from the Panthers?
Well, you know Luai was out for half that game as well. But you have put me on the spot here. You've well and truly done that. Maybe I might tell you these
you
beforehand.
No, but my point is, of those, there's almost certain to be one or two games there somewhere that have been like mass rested for Penrith. So that is huge.
Yeah, and when I'm talking about scores being over, I'm talking about 62, 63. I'm not talking about 100, something that you're really happy with. So
basically, if you are getting Reece Walsh this week, do so knowing that a 40 to 50 is absolutely on the cards.
Absolutely, absolutely in Penrith. The next one, kind of was coming into this podcast umming and ahhing about, you know, Drew Hutchison and Jamin Salmon, in particular Drew Hutchison, because it was good to see Jamin Salmon have a pretty decent score last weekend. And I was talking to myself, I was talking to you, Timmy, I was like, I need to get these guys out of here. And it was considering a boost at the time. But I had to look back at the stats and I had to look at the last 12 day games that the Titans played last season. The opposing halfback averaged 60 plus points, with the last 11 halfbacks having at least one try assist. So I reckon they're going to come down this right side here, the Bulldogs, and I reckon Drew Hutchison's going to have one or two try assists and a 60-plus game. That's all I'm saying. I'm
calling it.
I'm calling it now. Absolute. I mean, mates, averaging 60-plus points, you got it. You got to take it. So that's the big risk that I'm taking this week. I'm going to be absolutely crying if it comes to a Drew Hutchison 30 again, but I believe this Titans side's pretty weak. It's at Belmore, multicultural round as well. A huge day out there in Belmore. Yeah. Hopefully Hutcho can do well. And same with Jamin Salmon. Even though I didn't involve you in the stat, mate, do well. Go hard.
Hey, good stuff, firstly. Thank you. Let me tie that into a question that's been asked later on in the show. We'll bring it forward from Dylan Elturk. Asks, Jamin Salmon and Drew Hutchison, duds, who to sell first? So there's a lot of people out there, Desi, that would own both and are looking at selling one and or both. Let's say you had to sell one this week. I think there'd be a lot of people in the position. If you were selling one, who would it be?
Well, I have Hutchison. I didn't start Salmon. So I was talking to Rando before the show saying I was looking at selling him maybe to get in Galvin just to free up some cash, but you know, the stats don't lie, so I can't do it now. I'm going to have to be forced to play him after hearing that. You know, he's not scoring that bad. He's scoring like 30-odd, you know, like the Spy was saying preseason. That's his floor. Like, he's not going to score worse than that. What he's scored so far is like, that's the worst he's going to go. It's only up from here, and it's only up for the Bulldogs, I think. I'd probably sell Salmon before him.
Yeah, I'd be doing the same, mate, and a few reasons. But firstly, Hutcho's base in 80 minutes is essentially the same as Salmon's in his 50 to 60 minutes, because Salmon is not a big base middle. He's a ball player. He's a distributor. I just think while you've got an 80-minute halfback there against weak opposition, I think he's honestly, as your boy said, he's a, and the stats can hopefully back it up, but he looks a relatively decent play in 17s this week. I'd be trying to avoid playing him if I could, but it looks somewhat viable. And at any point, Sexton could come in and play ahead of Hutcho, but at the same time, at any point, probably even more likely, is Curran or Kurt Mann could start at 13 for the Dogs, which is probably more likely at this stage. So if I was selling one, it'd be Salmon. Boys, hot topics for the week. We've touched on Zach Hosking. Number two, though, loads of questions for this. And this was before, most of them were before even the Joey Lussick team news around Brendan Hands. As mentioned, Lussick, 313K, negative 54 break even. He looks light, or he should be playing 80 minutes. Is he a buy? Absolutely, he's a buy. But would you move Danny Levi onto him? Because Levi's the sixth most sold player this week. Levi's about 238K. He's got a break even of, I'll get that in a second, but also quite low. A lot of similarities between them. Lussick now looking to get 80 minutes. Levi playing about that 55 to 60 minute mark. Both have had major attacking stats to start the season. Levi has two tries, one with a line break, one without on the weekend. Lussick has a try and a line break, and it might have been a try assist and a line break round one. Lussick, to me, is the better buy of the two if you own neither. Do either of you disagree?
Yeah,
despite the price differential?
No, I'd definitely take Lussick.
Okay. If you own Danny Levi, let's say your team doesn't have too many fires to put out, and you're relatively happy with it, could you justify going Levi to Lussick, Desi, or not?
I am. I'm doing that trade. I just think he looks better. Levi's scored like 40-odd, 45-odd with two tries.
Mm.
His base is like 10 to 20.
Negative 13 break even.
He's based, 20 and 18 in 2 weeks. That's atrocious.
You wait, mate. We're 22 this week.
I think Lussick's by far the better player. You're only paying, 80K upwards. Mm. And you're going to make a hell of a lot more cash in the long run. And I think he's, a feasible player in your 17 each week, whereas Levi, you'd be, having your fingers crossed that he scoops one. So, yeah, I'm just pulling the trigger on it. I think it's perfectly feasible to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a tale of two different players, and I think minutes is the big one that comes into it. Now Lussick's an 80-minute man. Levi, 57 minutes. You got Lussick, who's averaging about 10 runs a game and 35 tackles compared to Levi. I know, obviously, the lesser minutes, but they all stack up in Supercoach points. He's got 8 runs, and he averages 8 runs and 21 tackles per game, so he's missing that big point. On top of that, Joey Lussick, a bit more of a creator with try assists and line break assists, more than Danny Levi, who a show and go and just backing up really in support for his second try. So I think Joey Lussick, if you told me these two names at the start of the season, I would say none of them offer anything. Yeah. But if I have to pick one, Joey Lussick definitely offers a lot more in attacking, which is probably the big one.
Yeah, look, I'm certainly not strongly against anyone going Levi to Lussick. But at the same time, before that, 70, 80-odd K price difference, with a negative break-even, other things to sort out in teams, I just think, Lussick could easily come out this week. Let's say he gets his 80 minutes, and the no hands on the bench has bolstered his credentials significantly, for sure. But he could come out and get no major attacking stats. He could have he had 42 in base in 77 minutes last week, 31 base in 63 minutes in round one. Okay, but not great. He could score 40 points. Levi comes out, plays his 55-60 minutes, hopefully in a good Raiders side at the moment. Brutal forward pack. Can jag maybe try assist, something. Score similar to him. I think it's a real luxury, Desi.
It is.
As I said, I wish I owned Lussick and not Levi, but I'm not going up to him.
Yeah. It's definitely a luxury trade, but so is trading Kalen Ponga to Pappenhausen.
Mm.
I don't think that's a must trade. I think it's a luxury trade. You've got to have bigger fires in your team than trading out Kalen Ponga, for God's sake.
Yeah. back to Ponga. it's going to be splitting heads all week, I reckon, the Joey Lussick Levi one. But I'll be holding on to Levi. Boys, Terrell May, let's not spend too much time on him. Lock and load. He could be a keeper, does he?
I think so, yeah. He looked like he was hitting up the ball bloody hard when I was standing ground level at Brookie. He's definitely looking like he could be a keeper.
Yeah.
Just matters whether he stays on those sort of minutes, whether he can, continue playing those minutes, whether he gets gassed. But
I think he will, mate. Yeah. He doesn't look like he breaks a sweat, Terrell May. He's a beast. He's doesn't sound like. They love him at the club. Trent Robinson openly said, particularly after Vegas, I didn't see the presser after the Manly game, but said that he was just so impressed with him in Vegas. I think he continues to play big minutes. Named on the bench this week, but he was also last week and came into the starting squad for Warrior Hargraves last week, so hopefully that happens again. I think he's an absolute just must-have at front row forward, so get him into your teams this week. A question from the Supercoach Sponge. It's a good one. So he says, I have Max King and Ruben Cotter. Do I go Lukey to Curran and ignore May in the hope Curran becomes dual round six? Or would you go Lukey slash King to May now and ignore Curran? So I think from this question, what I wanted to touch on, I mean, firstly, Guru's campaign for all us super coaches to get Josh Curran available at front row forward. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. He's been coming off the bench, playing in the middle. Whether or not they see that enough at our Supercoach headquarters, Sangster and the team, to give him dual when they do. For anyone new out there, to Supercoach, every, I believe, like six rounds, so I think it's round six, round 12, round 18, they do positional updates. And if a player's been playing another position, they can update and add a position to a player. If you're already dual, it won't change. But so with Curran, who's currently 2RF, he could get dual 2RF front row forward. We don't know, and I think it's too early to bring him in based on hopefully getting front row forward. Part two of that is, if you do have a good front row forward combination at the moment, no one really wants to spend up at front row. Let's say you are like Sponge, who's got Cotter, who to me looks a really great buy this week, enormous base on the weekend, Cotter in great minutes. King, who's been a bit underwhelming, but he's also not a problem area for you if you own him. Would you still be looking to get Terrell May if you were happy with your front row, Desi?
If you had King and Cotter, probably not. I don't see the need for it. Mm. Those guys are going to score roughly what he scores, 50, 60 odd, yeah, week in, week out. They're troopers. Yeah, I think Curran's probably a better buy long term. I think his minutes can only increase at the Bulldogs. The attacking stats will come for him as well.
Yeah. It's tough. Look, I'd probably go Max King to him. I just think Terrell looks that good. He's offloading, he's busting tackles, big minutes. It is a luxury trade. If you don't have too many issues with your side, I can do it. Or, you know, even if it's for 1 week and you have May for Lukey in the back row and you can get May into your front row later. Rando, number four most traded in, Luke Brooks, 560K, break even of 20. Is he the best value option at 5'8"? I know, Desi, you're an owner. You'd be licking your lips. He's also been a whisker from having another couple of tries to his name. By a whisker, I mean probably half a whisker. He's been so close. He looks great, and I'm eyeing him off big time this week.
Honestly, I thought that Dylan Brown and Nathan Cleary are going to be my halves for the whole year. Wasn't going to plan to change them, but Luke Brooks is becoming a serious threat. He had these numbers up in the Tigers area, but obviously with a worse team, he didn't get to shine as much. With Manly, he seems like everything he touches turns to gold. I was watching the game against the Roosters, and his Supercoach points were just stacking up. I think he got 71 in the end, and if he had that try, could have easily been the 100. So
80.
Yeah. Sorry. You're an owner. Sorry, didn't mean to offend the owners in here.
Owner and diehard Manly
sorry.
It's the double bad.
My bad. So, yes, 100% probably the best value option right now. And look, I'm pretty comfortable with my team. I'm pretty comfortable with D-bags at the moment. But honestly, Luke Brooks could definitely knock me into a boost next week if possible. We'll see how this battle goes between him and Dylan Brown this week.
Yeah, look, I've really enjoyed the 40 points that Braden Trindle's accumulated for me over the first 2 weeks, but I am looking at pulling the trigger on this one. He just looks superb. His base is poor, but the biggest thing with Brooks is not only eye test and looking phenomenal, but Manly look unreal. They're 2 from 2, looking terrific. They do have a few tough games still to come, but honestly, Brooksy, the way he's going, I feel like he's one of those where, sure, if there's a game where Manly do get well beaten, there might be some 30s. But on the first 2 weeks, there's going to be tons, and like if not 80s and 90s. So I'm pretty keen on Brooksy at the price. And, yeah, he, if not a potential – probably not a season-long keeper, but there is potential there. Worst case, I think he's going to be a really nice stepping stone to Dylan Brown, who started a little bit slow as well. Boys, Ronaldo Mulitalo, 6 most traded in, 627K, negative 24 break even. I wrote in my squad breakdown that's team's analysis that's online at the moment. I'm leaving people to decide this for themselves, because he could come out and get 150 this week against the Tigers, or he could get 7. I don't know. No one knows, Desi. What do you think of the buy?
If I recall last year, I think I may have captained Mulitalo against the Tigers, and I think he scored about 25, 30 points. So, yeah, there's that. But A cash grab? No, you're getting Mutolo at 627K to keep him. He's not a cash grab. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I just don't trust him after last year, to be honest.
Yeah, fair. And I think it's a bit the same. I guess the West Tigers coming around again. The right winger just has an absolute field day. He had 36 line breaks against the Tigers last season, whereas the left winger had half that. So a lot of the teams like to use their right edge attack. I think the right winger averages 67 against the Tigers last year. So Sione Katoa, that was my third stat that I was iffing up, but I thought I'd bring it in right now.
Slotted in perfect. Nicely, mate.
Slotted in nicely. More organic, I think.
Seamless.
So yeah, definitely one to look at. But Ronaldo, 20 runs, 19 runs in the last two games, four line breaks across those two games, and a try assist in both as well. They're smashing that left-hand side, and him just back to Talakai and Talakai back to him. It's just such a dangerous combination. I don't want to see the bad days, and I'm really considering him as a possible option, but I'm pretty happy with my, well, what I can afford in terms of centres. Definitely get him on if you can. I think he could be in for a big game against the Tigers, but also be warned about that right edge sort of attack against Junior Tupou and the like.
Yeah, I think every time I've recommended Mulitalo as a buy in the last two seasons, and when I have, I've followed through and bought him myself. He's been lucky to get double digits, and when I've said probably avoid for now, he scores 150, so no comment. I don't know. Boys, last one in Hot Topics. Lockie Galvin, 204K for the Tigers. Scored 49 on a very impressive debut against the Raiders. 18 years old, 35 in base, bottom dollar, available only at 5'8". Can you go early, Desi, or not?
I was thinking about it, but, yeah, he could just get flicked, you know, after this week. If the Tigers get smashed again, I can see Benji just flicking him to the bench or even out of the squad entirely. But he did look good. He looked really good. He looked like a Adam Dewey sort of prototype, big, strong, running half, taking lots of hit-ups, had a good base. 35 in base is exceptional for,
18-year-old.
Yeah, for 18. I mean, it's crazy. Like, for sure, if he keeps his spot, you get him in next week, for sure. But yeah, there is a case to go early for him for sure, but it is a luxury trade, we say.
I can't imagine there'd be too many people out there that are happy with both their 5'8s. And when I say that, people might have Dylan Brown and Luke Brooks with Ethan Strange there. Sweet, happy. But Ethan Strange has the dual 5'8 CT dub. Yep. So I think if Galvin goes well next week, it'll be pretty easy to slot Strange down somewhere in your CT dub. We've also got the option there getting really funky. Nearly everyone owns Ben Trbojevic. You can flip him up to 2RF. Everyone's got a few problems at 2RF with Lukey and a few other injuries. So I think it's worth giving it a week. If he goes well again and looks more than anything to cement the spot, we can get him next week at bottom dollar. Boys, trades and skippers, round three. Rando, I'll start with you, mate. What are you eyeing off?
I've already jumped in on it because I just liked it so much. But two big ones for me was getting Carl Lawton out after a series of 15s. I thought maybe he's not going to score big this year. Maybe he might not score big this year. So I've chucked in Joey Lussick as the big trade there. I think one, comfortable to reserve him other than Lawton, who even plays 25, 30 minutes, still not getting the points I need.
And in your defence there, mate, with the Lawton one, I, for a very fluttering moment, looked at him as well. Anyone who before round one said, you're mad if you don't get Levi or Lussick, is absolutely talking out of their you-know-where. So
absolutely.
It's worked out fantastically well for owners, but no one knew that was coming.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Lussick, get him at this price while you can. So I've got him in. And the last one, obviously, Helam Lukey, as I mentioned, he's out. Putting in Zach Hosking here. Traditionally, the right second rowers go pretty well against the Warriors in New Zealand. I know New Zealand's a completely different climate, different field. It's always wet up there. But each time that the right second rowers, last seven times, in fact, the right second rowers have scored over 50 points. So I'm hoping a few minutes here for Zach Hosking, a bit more energised, only a shortened time rather than that 80 where you might tamper. I reckon he'll go real hard there and hopefully break that 50 because that's all I need from him because personally, as I mentioned, he's basically a cash grab.
Yeah.
If I can sell him off, if he does badly and doesn't get the minutes, I can sell him off for a bit more. So that's the move this week.
Like it, mate. What skippers are you eyeing?
I'm going to stick with Nathan Cleary. Now, his lowest score against the Broncos is 53. I'm okay with copping 53 if that is his lowest score. I think he might have a field day against this young Broncos outfit. For a vice captain, I always love to go Tino. I think Tino is in for a big game.
Straight seeing on Nath on went Thursday night.
Yes, absolutely. I reckon.
Well, does Mam and Payne Husk getting named, will their availability impact your decision or not?
It'd probably be better if Mam is out. That way, right hand side's just absolutely on a is definitely on for the. For the Panthers, Payne Haas, I don't think he really determines too much. I don't think, even if he is a little bit injured, his minutes might reduce, and that is just another super coach decision I'll have to make when it comes. But for the time being, I'm not too worried. I think Nathan Cleary, much like we were talking about Latrell, pretty fixture-proof.
Sweet, mate. Desi?
Actually, I like the play, but...
the
Tigers, come on. You've got to captain Nicho Hines.
Oh, I don't have Nicho. Sorry. Well, Jamie Humphreys is my other guy. Do I captain him?
Are you going against Tommy Turbo?
No, I'm captaining Turbo for sure, but VC's on Nicho
Prince,
for sure.
Shire. What about your trades, mate?
Trades pretty straightforward, doing Levi to Lossick and Lukey to Josh Curran.
Nice. Curran looks a good buy. Any concern around inflated minutes from injury the first 2 weeks? Fox in week one, Salmon went out to the edge, more minutes for Curran in the middle. Poaso Farmasili in round two, knocked out first minute of the game. Curran comes on. Any issues there or are you happy?
No, I think what he's getting right now, like 57-ish minutes, I think that's what he probably gets for the rest of the season, if not more. So yep. I don't think those injuries, on the surface, they look like they did impact his minutes, but I really think that that's what he stays on for the time being.
Just feels a matter of time before he's starting. It could be anywhere. It could be front row, it could be lock, it could be on an edge. If one of Kikau or Preston go down, he could be on the edge. Don't mind it. Maddie, the Waterboy, trades skippers this week, mate?
Trades, I have a lot to think about. I cannot give you a straight answer right here. I'll just tell you now, I'll get Lukey out, probably Curran to put in. Mm. I've got to fix my front row. It's an absolute diabolical mess at the moment, so I'll have to do something there. Maybe Mwale, I'm not sure. Like, it's funny, like, concern with Mwale was, well, it's the same middles as last week. Yeah. He's just starting. But, Randa, you did say he gets more minutes and gets more points. So I'm not sure.
I didn't guarantee that, by the way.
You said it. So I'm going to take it for your word there. Not sure. Captain Turbo, for sure. I reckon mainly going to pump Parra.
Yeah. And you do. It is a mess. You said your front row, but you're a Terrell May owner, yeah?
I got Terrell May. He's my shining light in the front row. Everyone else
He's
is a disaster.
He's all our shining lights in the front row, Matty. For the Cooma Stallions, also a bit of work to do. Busy old afternoon, this one. But I'm eyeing off. I've got, how much in my bank? $78,000 to play with pre-trades, which helps. Probably just go Trindle to Luke Brooks. There is a bit of temptation with that Tigers matchup for Trindle. Actually, despite a couple of horrible drop balls, I don't think Trindle's looked that bad.
I would hold him, honestly.
Yeah, and the Sharks look great. But I'm also kind of like...
I thought Trindle was the best player on the field in the first half last week.
Yeah, in the first half. And then there's some drop balls. But I actually think he looks all right and he's linking up well, but...
Manly don't go too well against Parramatta traditionally.
It's also a tough ground for half scorers at Leichhardt as well. The high score is 35 by an opposition half. Last season.
Interesting.
Not to shun everyone, but I mean, if I go from 69,000 to first because everyone stops captaining Nicho, then I'm happy with that.
So, look, at this stage, I'm looking at Trindle to Brooksy. Helam Lukey obviously has to go as well. Probably Josh Curran at this point, but a few options to have. I still do have Palacia, so I've got to check my finances, but they both got to go in the next 2 weeks regardless. The buy for Palacia last week means they don't really care what he does this week, barring a potential VC loop. Speaking of, my vice captain, Nicho Hines, and my C, Tom Trbojevic, boys I've loved what I've seen from Manly, and I think they not do a number on Parramatta, but I think there could be plenty of points in it. And Tommy Turbo, the big one's coming. Couple of questions before we wrap it up for this week. Look, it is a question, but I just want to bring it up as just as an interesting talking point. Desi, is from Jeff Fletcher. Is it viable to go big in CT Dub? I need to fix up my front row forward and 2RF, but I'm thinking about sticking with the mid-range cheapies that aren't going so great and bringing in Holmes for Drew Hutchinson, so I'll have four gun CT Dubs. Firstly, as an answer to Jeff, no. If you've got three gun CT Dubs, you can pick a good matchup each week to slot your fourth one in, fix up your front row 2RF, deal with CT Dub later. My point, though, that I wanted to make, Desi, was, you know, we sit here each preseason and we go, spend up in this position, don't do it in this one, go big in the spine, that's where the big scores are. CT Dub, you can spend a little bit there for a bit of security and a bit of insurance, but, you know, if you can slot cheapies in there, it's traditionally the play. My CT Dub's just been rock solid and flying the flag for the Stallions this season. It's been so reliable.
Yeah.
I think most people are in the same boat, whether they've spent up or not.
Yeah. I mean, you can either go two ways at the centre wing, like just put in all cheapies or go big. I mean, it is a viable strategy. He's asking if it's viable to go big in centre wing. It is. You can go four big centre wings to start. There's nothing stopping you. It's a high ceiling position. We know this. So it's viable. But if you need to fix front row forward, then fix it. It's that simple.
Yeah. Not for me, mate. I'd be plugging that fourth with your best option each week, but happy days for you. Anthony McElroy. Eye test-wise, Brooks looks good. Am I crazy going Dylan Brown to Brooks to bank an extra 220K, which can get me a gun elsewhere? Rando, you're a Dylan Brown owner. You said you like the look of Brooks. Could you do it?
I think I got to give Dylan Brown a couple more weeks before I do make the jump to Luke Brooks. Watch Luke Brooks have a loss, see how his score tampers there. Dylan Brown, one win, one loss. His high score was in that loss to Penrith of all teams. I think he has a big one this weekend against Manly, regardless of the score. Another player who you can say is fixture proof, whereas Luke Brooks, what does he look like in a losing side? What does he look like if Tom Trbojevic is no longer in that team?
Yeah, dramas. I'm with you. Obviously with Dylan Brown, the other thing, hasn't had a great start to the season, Dylan Brown, but he had two try assists with line assists against Penrith.
I thought he was dotted.
Yeah. I was so happy. I'm like, oh, he's going 100 plus and I've got Trindle's 24. But Dylan Brown, his base was down heaps. He only scored 65 from it. Penrith. It's what Penrith do. Your base is always down. He had something like six runs. He had 10 the week before. He often has more than 10. So stick strong with Dylan Brown. He's the least of your worries. I think if you want Brooks, there's probably that maybe that second 5-8 slot if you really want to get him in and you can enough. Question from Midi Ned. Is Kiraz to Ronaldo Mulitalo two sideways this week with Ronaldo's -29 break even? Did a bit of research on Kiraz today from his opening two rounds. He's averaging close to 50, as expected. It's all base and power. I think he's basing 39 per game across the opening two rounds. A couple of offloads here, a couple of tackle breaks there. Not to the numbers we saw of last year, but Desi, no line breaks, no try assists, no line assists, no tries, no nothing. Good matchup against the Titans this week. I'd be giving Kiraz another week.
Yeah, I own him, and there's no way I'd be doing that trade.
Question from Oscar, is Taumalolo an immediate sell with knowledge of serious knee issues? I am a Taumalolo owner. Score minutes much better on the weekend. Cannot wait to get him out of my side. Potentially eyeing off getting rid of him this week. With news, as you said, of those sort of pretty chronic knee issues, they're going to manage him all season. The second the Cowboys get a decent lead, Dragons this week could happen. He's getting an early shower, so can't wait to get rid of him. Boys, lucky last question from Anthony Redding. Desi, soft or hard shell tacos?
I'm traditionally hard shell, but I went soft shells last night, so...
Has it turned you or not?
It's turned me, yeah.
Last night?
First time having it.
No, not first time.
In all your life?
I've traditionally had much more hard shell tacos in my life, but I've come accustomed to soft shells recently.
So in all your life of eating soft and hard shell tacos, last night, just before we got this question, was the night that made you a nut, I'm a soft shell taco man.
It actually was, funnily enough.
Oh my God. Rando?
I'm not a fan of crunchy... Like crunch, to be honest. I hate, you know, like Doritos and like corn chips and stuff like that. So soft shell all the time.
Weirdo.
Thank you. Glad we're running out of time so we don't delve into that.
Soft shell tacos for me. Maddie?
Yeah, soft for sure.
Soft shell every day. Like, boys, that wraps up for the round three episode of the SC Playbook podcast. Rando, very strong debut, mate. The stats, as promised by your social handles, were good.
They were good. And random, hopefully.
And random.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Thanks for coming on, mate. We'll see you again this year, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future. Desi, good to have you back after a couple of weeks.
Cheers, boys. I'm blaming Rando if Drew Hutchinson doesn't score well this week.
I'd also not captain Nicho Hynes too, mate.
VC's on him.
Cheers, guys. Good luck this weekend. Thanks for tuning in.